and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
My. You'd be under the weather, too, had you been doing the backstroke in the cesspool of sin of Asheville, North Carolina this weekend. Woohoo! What a party at Asheville Saturday night. SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. I'm sure we'll get pictures up, etc. Let me, okay. After Eric Bullitt, Right Wing World, we'll tell you the whole story. Asheville, not easy to get to, as it turns out.
I've heard.
Yes, there was a little bit of a comedy of errors. I believe that John Fugelsang, his wife, Roland, had a drive back. All the flights got canceled back. Their flights got canceled in. I missed my flight to Asheville. It's a whole story.
Was there weather or something? Or
weather in New York, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mine was a whole other thing. However, my 88-year-old Republican mom did make it from Charlotte despite her masturbating fox bird schedule, and a good time was had by all. And may I just say one thing, Chris?
Yeah.
Thank God for crappy hearing aids, because I was not able to talk my mom out of going to the show, but I don't think she heard much, which is...
Her eyes are still good, so she saw the teabagging demonstration.
She did see that.
Yeah.
She did see that. And she couldn't be prouder. However, it was a great show. My mom, fortunately, was very sweet and supportive because she hardly heard anything, which is awesome. All right. And then off to Seattle this Friday for shows Friday and Saturday. Yep. Just a few tickets left for Friday. Go to sexyliberal.com for that, and then we'll tell the whole... It really was a I Love Lucy episode on crack this weekend in Asheville. We'll tell you the whole story.
I can't wait to hear what happened.
Oh, dear God. All right. First of all, our Monday friend is here. Eric Bowler from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bowler. Eric Bowler.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bowler from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bowler.
Good morning, Eric Bowler.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, first of all, before we get to your piece, which I love, I have to say, what is going on? Is Rick Perry's campaign imploded already? He apparently had this, disastrous performance at the debate, and already, there's strategists saying, oh, he's done.
Yeah, it's amazing, because these aren't really campaigns anymore. They're more like beauty contests.
Right,
right.
And the Republicans parade these people up, he sort of runs the end of the runway and back, and by the time he gets back, people are like, no, next.
No.
So these are not sort of traditional campaigns. I mean, we've had these sort of phony wannabe candidates, whether it's Sarah Palin or Trump or others, and Republicans get all excited and they think they've found, the winning candidate. But again, I think it goes to a larger symptom of the Republican Party, which is, it's just completely hollow at the center. So they're not really arguing for anything. It's particularly right-wing media and online and right-wing radio. They've convinced themselves if they hate Obama enough, of course he can't win re-election.
Right.
But America, we don't run, votes of no confidence. You, as Democrats in 2004, you need to put up someone who can beat the other guy. Democrats walked into that same problem. They thought, oh, Bush is unpopular. He can't possibly win. Well, he did.
At the outside, I mean, it looks like chaos on their side, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's just breaking news. Also, Herman Cain won Florida, the Florida straw poll, which is a huge embarrassment for Perry. Meanwhile, Romney has a huge lead in New Hampshire. Yet Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann won Iowa. I mean, and now the big story this morning in Politico is, oh, maybe Chris Christie's going to run.
Now we're back to that sort of silly story. Someone who has publicly acknowledged he is not ready to be president is now the person the Republican establishment desperately wants to run as president.
I think he said something.
That's a tough commercial to make in a year, right?
I think he said something like he'd rather commit suicide than run for president.
Yeah, what do I got to do? Commit suicide?
Yeah.
this is someone who's been a governor for 2 years, has almost no accomplishments. And again, this isn't a traditional campaign or primary season, because all Republicans care about is trying to get someone who could beat Obama. They're not even looking at people's background. All these people who went all in on Rick Perry had no idea what he stood for, didn't realize he had spent the last 10 years basically ducking debates in Texas, didn't realize he's not really known for for accomplishing much of anything.
Right.
But they go all in and bet their whole party on him, and then 3 weeks later they realize, well, that didn't work out.
You know, I read an interesting piece in the Times, Eric, which sort of goes to that point that, you know, I was joking about he's George Bush but without the intellect or the humility.
Yeah.
And this piece was basically like that, you know, that the Republican Party so dominates Texas, you know, he's never had to appeal to, work with, like anybody. Left of, you know, Tea Party crazy.
And his approval rating is underwater in Texas.
I mean,
and almost, and Christie's basically facing the same problem in New Jersey. So the whole thing is sort of Keystone Cops.
Let's get to your piece, because as usual, you know, you're right on the money, because obviously, as usual, we're going to say, you know, this election is going to have a lot to do with the economy and jobs. And I love your piece. Last night, Fox News' Bill O'Reilly mocked a guest who suggested that voters blame Republicans for the faltering economy. Only a moron would do that, O'Reilly claimed. The truth is, despite right-wing spin on Bush's behalf, a plurality of voters do blame Republicans for the current state of the economy, as you write.
There have been probably 18 polls since Obama was inaugurated on this topic. Every one of them, clear plurality, often majority, blame Bush for the economic conditions of the country. People remember, you know, when he left, the economy essentially collapsed. We were losing 700,000 jobs a month. You know, the entire Wall Street had to be bailed out. People remember that. But, you know, the mindset in Fox News and you know, conservative circles, you'd have to be a moron to, you know, still blame Bush and Republicans for the economy. But, yeah, that's basically...
Well,
American population are now morons.
Right. You state the first poll, 48% point the finger at the GOP, 40% blame Obama. Centrists to hold Republicans more responsible than the president by 2-1 margin. A Quinnipiac poll, you say, most interesting, 71% say the country's in a recession, only 54-27% they blame George Bush more than President Obama. And then buried in the McClatchy poll, as you say, the interesting nugget, 61% of those polled still think Obama inherited the recession. CNN poll, you quote, 57% say Bush and Republicans more responsible, while just 29% say Obama and the Democrats. So that's a dangerous game they're playing on the economy right now, isn't it?
It's interesting. I mean, they have been blaming Obama since day one. Remember, you go back to CNBC in the winter, spring of 2009. Obama was destroying the economy, and Obama this. I mean, this has been a talking point for 2+ years, and it has just have gone nowhere in terms of the public. They are sticking to their guns. Obama did not send this economy into a tailspin in 2008 and 2009. And they continue to blame Republicans, and it drives Bill O'Reilly and Fox News crazy, because they have been dedicated to blaming Obama for 2 years, and they realize in 2012, if he's not blamed for the economy, he's not going to lose.
Yeah, exactly. Let's dive in and get that crunchy audio goodness. Speaking of which, here he is, Bill O'Reilly. Oh, you morons, America.
Under the Democratic House, okay, they ran up more than a $5 trillion debt in 4 years, okay, and it didn't work. The economy's worse. So what moron would blame Republicans for the current current problems we have in the economic region?
Well, as it turns out, all the morons you cited in every poll they've taken, right, Eric?
It's been incredibly consistent. And again, in the worldview within Fox News, I mean, they've built this parallel universe. It's not even thinkable that anyone would blame Republicans and Bush. But you step outside of that bubble, it turns out, well, most of America.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Pat Buchanan on the McLaughlin Group on the Buffett Rule.
The Buffett Rule is rooted in the philosophy of envy and the gospel of greed. Mr. Buffett is unhappy because he doesn't pay as high a tax rate as he says his secretary does.
Yeah, well, that was pretty good, Pat. You summed it up. Thank you. Yes. You know, it is amazing, isn't it, how they can keep, you know, just trying this plan of making people vote against their self-interest and for only the self-interest of the top 1%, right?
Yeah, and what's interesting is the whole Buffett and the secretary. I mean, that really did throw them for a loop. I mean, here's America.
Because it's too easily understandable, right?
Yeah, exactly. And they just didn't really have a response. I mean, here's one of America's most well-known billionaires and going to bat for Obama and putting in very plain terms, why is the secretary paying a higher rate? And the response last week was really wasn't one. I mean, they could not answer that question And I think that's going to continue to be a problem.
Yep, exactly. Britt Hume on the disaster relief bill.
The Republicans pass a bill that has disaster relief money in it to the tune of several billion dollars, and they pay for it with cuts in green jobs funding. Well, green jobs funding ought to be by now a very low priority, given the history of it and the fact that it's utterly failed to produce meaningful jobs.
Utterly failed to produce meaningful jobs.
Wow, so we should just stop that entirely now.
And what's interesting is what Fox doesn't talk about is this idea of paying for disaster relief by cutting other things, by offsetting the cost for FEMA and disaster relief. That's unprecedented in American politics. I mean, the FEMA and disaster relief has always been a bipartisan. As soon as possible, you write the checks and you spend the money to help the people in need. And Republicans, for the first time ever, are now tying it to budget cuts. And one of the problems in the press coverage is they're glossing over this radical approach. And so a lot of the coverage is sort of he said, well, Democrats and Republicans just can't agree on disaster relief. They can. Republicans have completely changed the rules and are playing politics with these people who need the money.
Eric, that's
the
right.
The press ought to start reporting it.
That's right. And that's what drives you and I crazy, is that there is not a liberal media. There is not coverage of the debt ceiling of disaster relief of the, you're absolutely right, these first-time hostages in our history.
Yeah.
Last week you just go, what? They're almost shutting the government down over helping our fellow Americans in a disaster.
Yeah.
What? I mean, exactly. And you don't.
And again, if you look at the coverage, it's all, these two sides just can't agree. That is not the story. The story is Republicans have changed the rules and to change the way legislation is passed, the way it's been passed for generations, and they're doing it on the backs of these relief victims.
Yep, absolutely. Eric Boehlert remains in the sidecar. We continue with more Right Wing World after this on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Just stay on this frequency. We'll be right with you. Just stay on this frequency.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Time. You can't touch this. Yo, sound the bell. School is in, sucker. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. Break it down.
Yep. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Our buddy, our pal, Eric Boehlert, rejoins us for more Right Wing World. A Fox News promo?
Yeah.
These are always my favorite.
Green jobs.
Green jobs, again, the target, Eric Boehlert.
Green jobs are in the red, so why is the Fed still green-lighting loans? Then another D.C. shutdown? Why the latest threat could be good for America? Plus, debate breakdown. Which GOP contender can help America's economy win? It's all on the BizBlog Saturday.
Wow. I think that was so subtle, Eric, but I think I get the point.
Well, it's interesting, as you listen to that, Howard Kurtz has an interview with Roger Ailes today, and the spin on the story is Roger Ailes has pulled back Fox News because it was becoming too partisan, and he steered Fox News back towards the mainstream, back towards the middle, to pick up those moderate viewers, which is just, Apparently, when Roger Ailes steered Fox back to the middle, one of the first things he decided to do last spring was to go birther. Sort of the defining.
I love the part of how a shutdown can be good for America. An entire government shutdown. That the Republicans would have caused. They just wanted to preemptively tell you how that might be good for us.
It's going to be great. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. Yeah, we should just give up on green energy entirely.
Sure.
Green jobs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give them all to China.
Oh, and also in there, apparently the fill-in-the-blank, whoever the Republican candidate is, will be the only one that can help us win on jobs. Whoever that will be, that was a preemptive.
But part isn't now.
Yeah.
That's what we're told.
All right. Rush Limbaugh on Elizabeth Warren.
You know who the real parasite here is?
Mm.
It's Elizabeth Warren.
Sure. What?
The taxes of how many people does it take to pay Elizabeth Warren? The tuition of how many students to pay Elizabeth Warren? I'd like to know how many pensions she has. Harvard, Rutgers, time at the White House, time at TARP with Dingy Harry. If she's elected to the Senate, how many pensions is this woman going to have? Is there Social Security?
Mm.
We pay a lot of money to Ms. Warren. She's a parasite. She's a parasite who hates her host.
Ha!
willing to destroy the host while she sucks the life out of it.
Wow.
Wow. So that most economists would agree, right, Eric, that Elizabeth Warren is really the biggest cause of the deficit.
Well, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can use that same description to describe John Boehner or Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they're feeding off the government payroll, and they hate the host as well. So basically, everyone and members of Congress get paid by the government. So suddenly,
well, at least they're using
public employee is now a parasite.
At least they're using that public money for good use, like to rebuild bridges in their district. Oh no, they're not.
I hate the host of the Rush Limbaugh Show.
Okay.
What?
All right, and we finish with Ann Coulter.
Florida Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, she's my favorite, too. I want it implanted in people's minds that the Democrats, represented by Debbie Wasserman Schultz, this hideous beast who has a voice like a hyena getting an abortion,
Nice.
The utterly studly, articulate, elegant war hero, Alan West. That's the Republican Party.
Wow. That's even for her.
Even for her.
Mm.
Yeah, that's sort of gross. But she's a serious person, and she should be put on television and listened to as a pundit. I mean, that's just disgusting.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I'm sorry to end on such a sour note, but that's it. That was your dessert.
Sorry about that,
sorry,
Eric.
All right, see you next week, sir.
All right, bye.
There he goes. I guess not much to really say about that.
Wow.
Kind of the sediment in the bottom of the right wing.
That's evil.
Yeah, okay. By the way, we love us some Debbie Wasserman Schultz, whose voices could hardly be as soothing as Man Coulter, but all right. Wow. All right. Mike and Raleigh. We don't have time now, do we? Yes, we do.
He's
given us a farewell to Perry, which is nice. Here we go. From Mike and Raleigh.
This was not Rick Perry's night.
Rick Perry has had a bit of a hard time with these debates.
If you want Rick, here Rick is. Come and get Rick. But you better hurry, because Rick may not last.
I thought Rick Perry would get better. He hasn't.
Did I hear you say that he has a well chance?
Perry was such a waffler.
Corporations are people, my friend.
Who let the dogs out?
Who?
If you want Rick, here Rick is. Come and get Rick.
There was Rick Perry. Did not have a good debate.
Comfortable as a chimp opening a suitcase.
You better hurry, cause Rick's going back.
But he did look dumb. I'm getting to think that Texas miracle was him getting out of high school.
Thank you, Mike. Wow. Speaking of that stinky Ann Coulter joke.
Yeah.
When we come back, I'm going to do a compare and contrast.
Okay.
Humor on the left and on the right, because that was what passed for humor, that Ann Coulter joke about Debbie Wasserman.
Hyenas getting an abortion.
Yeah, hilarious, hilarious, hilarious. How even our crowds are a lot smarter and funnier than theirs, and I will
you have
explain
proof?
Why. Yes.
All right.
I have from two recent examples, the president's bridge speech and then the last Republican debate.
All right.
All right. Just, could be why. Just saying. Sexy liberal tour. Doing very, very well. Humor on the right. Not so much. 29 minutes after the hour, another crime example. The Root Pundit. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Sometimes it's good to be a freak.
When is it not good to be? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Yes, I would tell the whole astral story. And yes, my 88 Republican mom did go to the Sexy Liberal Show. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Oh,
a good time is had by all. I had a great time with my mommy.
Aw. Did she get the massage?
She did get the massage. Oh, dear. It was fabulous. She touched every part of me. I was like, all right, Mom.
Oh.
Wow. I never expected to. Not every part, but I'm saying the parts that needed whatever. Okay.
Touching.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. So, lots to get to. In the meantime.
Awkward.
Time to awkward.
It's Lee Pobbitt, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Pundit. not something you want to hear from a Republican necessarily. No. Hello, Lee Papa. Good morning, my friend.
Hello. Did you go to Malaprop's bookstore in Asheville? It's a great, great place.
I did not have time for that.
Do they carry the Rude Pundit Almanac?
I don't know.
They should if they don't.
Right. And if they don't, then you should order it at orbooks.com.
All right. That was very smooth, both of you. Good job. Nicely done. Nicely done. All right. I was too busy engaging in homosexual mischief and doing the backstroke and the cesspool of sin, as a Republican said about Asheville.
You know, Asheville's kind of a paradise for that.
Yeah, it was awesome. I brought even more. Now, rudeness, first of all, you are exhibit A for why liberals are funnier, if you read Rude Pundit blogspot.com.
RudePundit.blogspot.com.
Exactly.
Yes.
Anyway, but I was saying, I thought there was a recent example, the president's bridge speech, which I loved. But yeah. he stood at the bridge, that connects to Boehner and McConnell's districts. And he did like a little reverse Reagan on them, which they hate that. Instead of tear down this wall, it was Mr. McConnell, help us build this bridge, you know.
Ooh.
Yeah. But here's exhibit one, why we're funnier. At one point when Obama mentioned that the bridge was, quote, functionally obsolete, someone in the crowd shouted, like Boehner. Who's also functional. See, smart, funny joke is all I'm saying.
You mean that's funnier than a hyena getting an abortion?
Oh, God, was that awful?
Mm. That was, although I need to get her number because I got this hyena in trouble.
All right. Louise. Anyway, and I thought I contrasted that they're saying that the biggest laugh of the awful Republican debate last Thursday was Gary Johnson, the former New Mexico governor. He actually stole a Rush Limbaugh joke, and apparently that got the biggest laugh at the, would you like to hear it?
Yeah.
He said, my friends, my neighbor's dog has more shovel-ready jobs than the Obama administration.
Wow.
So yeah, Rush Limbaugh done that earlier in the day, and so then, yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing more you want to hear than Republicans talking about burying their bones. But there's
In second place would be Rick Perry's. I guess it was supposed to be a joke when asked, you remember who they would choose as a running mate? He said, I would mate Herman Cain up with Newt Gingrich, which I...
Oh, my God.
That caused a little vomit in everybody's thought bubble, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah, the pictures of that, all the flesh-slapping sounds, remarkable. Yeah. You got to wonder who's the power bottom in that one.
So, I was just talking to Eric, but before we get to your stuff, I got to ask, what is... it's chaos in the clown car over there on the right. So, Cain just won Florida. Of course, Bachman won Iowa. Perry is ahead in the polls, of course, nationally. And now in New Hampshire... Romney has a commanding lead. He's at 41%. Ron Paul in second at 14%. Rick Perry is in a distant third place with 8%. Michelle Bachmann, of course, has a tank. She's at 5%.
Yeah. And it's sad to watch Bachmann go because she was so fun for so long. But you know, all good things must come to an end.
Yeah.
You know what was really funny about the debates with Perry in them is just watching Mitt Romney kick Rick Perry's ass all over the place.
Right.
You know, Perry thought he was going to saunter into these debates and, like, kick sand in the face of Romney. And instead, Romney's the nerdy guy that got up and just punched Perry right in the nads. It's hysterical. I mean, there's that time when Perry tried to tie Romney to an education program, the Obama administration.
Right.
And Romney just smiles and says, nice try. And
yeah, if you can make Mitt Romney look cool, you really are having a disastrous campaign so far.
I know, but it's like, don't forget about how awful any of these buffoons would be as president, and just, right. You know, because none of them are going to beat Obama. I'm sorry, I've said that all along. I'm not changing that, no matter, even if Chris Christie waddles into the race,
yes.
I'm not changing that.
Well, you know, and that's the thing, Rude, is that you know, the right wing wants you to think the storyline is, you know, the Obama campaign is already in chaos and in panic. And if you look on the right, that's what's happening over there. I mean, everybody, there's some great new hope every 2 seconds, isn't there? And then,
anything, Christie's being smart. Christie's saying, yeah. I mean, let him talk, that's fine, but there's no way Christie's getting into it. He knows that this is a death year for Republicans. This is actually carryover from, as you and Eric were talking about, the blame of the Bush administration. Nobody's going back to that yet. It might be a little tighter this time if they nominate Romney. If they don't nominate Romney, then it's not even a race anymore.
Yeah. I have to say, it's pretty surprising. You know, we'll have to. I remember, our friend David Bender, who's done a few of these campaigns, saying, you know, Rick Perry, he's the one to to fear, blah blah blah. And I thought this is a pretty record implosion, if it is, isn't it? I mean, strategist is saying Perry's showing in the straw poll was disastrous. He was here. He worked the crowd, meaning down in Florida. But, I mean, obviously just scathing reviews for the debate. I mean, this is kind of surprising.
If Mitt Romney can look at you on a stage and without cowering at all say to you, I don't think he knows what he's talking about like Romney said about Perry when Perry gave some bizarre answer to something. You have no mojo. You don't have. Yeah. Bush came out and we loved the cowboy act, and now Rick Perry, the actual cowboy. Well, actual cowboys actually only know how to do cowboy stuff.
Well, that's what I mean, and I haven't seen quotes this early. I'm reading the story this morning. One Republican official who was ready to endorse Perry said he'd been stunned by the debates and predicted Perry can't fix it. Like, wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Perry has created a narrative now. Even what Britt Hume said, Perry vomited all over himself at the debate.
Yeah.
Republicans are I think feeling very spurned by their new boot wearing boyfriend.
And you're right. The political story. Christie himself has said over the past week the window for someone else exists because the current crop of hopefuls is leaving a void. However, that would have to be a fairly large void for him to fit in. You know what I'm saying? That would be, get his ass in there, that would be a wow.
Yeah, They have to blow open that door with dynamite. But they, but the thing, though, I think we can sit back and hope, you know, as people that want to toss out funny one-liners is, you know, cross your fingers that Palin is gonna say, well, they need me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that what she said? That if they need me, I will run.
Right. Yeah. I think she said something that made even Levi Johnson look smart because she said if no one else does, and he goes, since when does no one else run?
Yeah.
Right.
Which was actually the smarter thing said at the Palin dinner table in quite some time. Since when does nobody run for president? I mean, it really is. I guess you're right. Good for entertainment, but kind of chaos over there.
It is, and it's reflective, I guess, of the chaos that's going on in the Congress too. That the Republicans, they don't have any kind of agenda, so they don't have an agenda in Congress other than blocking stuff. And now we have these agendaless things that are running for president. The only plan is to overturn the stuff that has been accomplished already, and that's not progress.
Yeah, Michelle Bachmann is pretty much running on that I'm not for anything. I'm just a guy. My only bills are things that are against everything President Obama's for, right?
Right. Well, maybe there'll be a lot of jobs in destruction at that point. You know, any building that was built with any kind of Obama funding will be torn down. Any road will be dug up. We will go back to gravel and call it infrastructure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, exactly. I mean, you have a great posting about hypocritical, cruel, and buffoonish responses from the GOP on Obama's tax plan. I mean, it really is. I think he's winning that debate, don't you?
Oh, sure. There's not a poll that has come out that hasn't said that the majority, I mean, and a solid majority of Americans want taxes to go up on the very wealthy. And this is one of the easiest things he could run on. This is what allows Obama to actually go out there and say, as he said, I'm a warrior for the middle class.
Well, I don't. Watching these Republican debates, I mean, is it us or is that just really out of the mainstream? Let's recount. They have so far cheered executions, I guess, whether you're innocent or not.
Mm-hmm.
They have cheered letting an uninsured man die, and they have booed a gay American soldier. I mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not to his face. That was they only did it because he was on video.
Exactly. And he's currently serving in a war zone.
Currently serving in a war zone, probably doing more for his country than any of those idiots and yahoos ever will. And they had the gall to boo him. And nobody from that stage had the guts to actually say, come on, guys, that's messed up.
Right. None of the moderators did either.
Yeah.
No. No.
Yeah, I know. And Rick Perry, did you see Rick Santorum claims he didn't hear it?
Then John Huntsman came out and said, yeah, I heard it.
Yeah, everybody heard it.
Everybody heard it.
Yeah.
And when Rick Santorum even says, and I think the question was addressed to Santorum, mm-hmm. when Rick Santorum even comes out and says, all right, that was wrong, there's not a negative there to saying don't boo a soldier.
Right.
Yeah. And by the way, in the race to the bottom of dumb that is the Republican field right now, in all the other, stuff, what was lost? Rick Santorum has been called by another congressman the dumbest member he ever met.
But right.
Did you
right.
see the question about Pakistan losing control of their nukes to the Taliban and what he'd do? And did you see he said, I'd call Musharraf. He's not president anymore. He's an exile, you moron.
And yet, Santorum, in another little part of the debate, just wiped the floor with Perry. I mean, Perry is the bottom right now in the Republican orgy.
I never thought someone could be bottomer than Rick Santorum.
But yet he was able to take Perry.
Oh, boy.
He took it like a man.
And finally, you write random thoughts regarding the murder of Troy Davis. And, you quote someone as saying, will it be the case that finally turns America against the death penalty? You basically say, no. Because when you watch the Republican debate, you're like, wow, are we that bloodthirsty? We're just cheering the number of executions now? I mean, to me, if the Troy Davis case can't bother you at least a little, then you're right. I don't know what hope there is for us.
No. It, most people's attitude towards it is, oh well, I guess that's going to happen sometimes, as if there's no big deal. It's just like there hasn't been any kind of reform because of the work of the Innocence Project and other groups that have DNA tests prove that people have been held in prison for decades when they're not guilty.
Yep.
We just don't care. We just figure that's the price of doing business.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, no, it was a sad day, and I think, when they cheered Governor Perry, the number of executions too. You go, really? What about the guy that remember got executed for arson, and then it turned out not to be arson, and his wife and kid. Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, when you say, "Oh, that'll happen sometimes," I think what you're missing then is that it could happen to you.
Right, and but it's sort of like war. We don't, for the vast majority of us here in America, we're not touched directly by it, and so we don't even think on a daily basis. Oh yeah, there's still a war going on, and it's the same thing. If something doesn't directly touch our lives like that, we're good narcissists, America. What's Chaz Bono doing on So You Think You Can Dance? That's really what we care about.
Yep, absolutely. Rude Pundit, his rudeness himself. We will see you again next Monday, honey. Great stuff.
All right,
there he goes. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, that is like magic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Two minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. What a show we have! Katrina Vandenhoevel from The Nation, our buddy, our pal, coming up at the top of the hour. Rick Overton, comedian extraordinaire, joins us live in studio for the next couple of hours. And Mondays with Edie McClurg in hour number three. It's festive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so lots to get to. By the way, this hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that Try It Free button. You're going to love it. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. All right, the Asheville trip, wowee, it was... It was a great, great show. We had a great time. Getting my 88-year-old Republican mom there from Charlotte and getting all of us there... Kind of like it was like the scheduling the Normandy invasion. It was a lot of travel.
A little Keystone Copsy?
Yes.
Yes.
It's a little like a Patty Duke on crack episode with mixed in little I Love Lucy.
Whatever.
The whole thing. So I discussed last week, I scheduled a car to go pick my mom up in Charlotte. It's a couple hours from Asheville.
Okay.
To go get her, but she changed the car time like I think two or three times to better accommodate her masturbating fox bird.
Car services love when you do that.
Oh, dear, could I have a later pickup time because I need to feed Pretty Boy, and I don't want him to get upset if it's too early. And then she changed it. Anyway, I was like, Mom, absolutely. What is good for the bird? Is there a certain show that he needs to rub one out to so that you need to wait or something? Do you need to watch him do it? The bird does masturbate to Fox News, I swear to God. In case you think, if you've just tuned in, you've never heard the story, I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
He does. Okay. So, that was fine. But in the meantime, we landed late in Houston and missed our flight to Asheville. And so there were no other flights to Asheville for the rest of the day, and I was supposed to meet my 88-year-old Republican mother for dinner.
Oh, no.
In Asheville. And guess where they sent me?
Where?
Charlotte.
Oh.
Charlotte. So I called Roland, my tour director. He said, where are you? I said, I'm in Charlotte. He's like, where's your mom? I'm like, she's in Asheville.
Asheville.
Uh-huh. And, of course, she doesn't have a cell phone because that would be a liberal, tool of Satan, like a computer. Or any kind of the way that I could communicate with her in a way that, anyway. So I was all, yes, a little hysterical. He says, I have to get to my mommy. Someone needs to help her. She can't. Okay, so... Roland said, I swear they'll give her VIP treatment. She's like, worried about her. She's 88.
Right.
She's by herself. And I'm... Okay, so, my mom's name is Stephanie Miller, right?
Right.
My name is Stephanie Miller Jr.
Has that caused some problems in your life?
A little bit, but
okay.
Wait.
Okay.
But wait for it. Wait for the punchline.
All right.
There were three Stephanie Millers staying at our hotel.
Your mom,
this weekend,
you, and someone else.
And some other Stephanie Miller that apparently got VIP treatment because my mom didn't.
Oh,
nobody helped her or met her or whatever. And so I call as soon as I land in Charlotte. So she's like, because I said, okay, tell my mom what's happening and
right.
Please help her. So I call, I talked to the other Stephanie Miller twice. They connected me. I'm like, Mom? She's like, no. And I was like, oh. I was like, oh, okay. Well, they probably just connected me to the wrong
room.
I call back again.
Sure.
Mom? No.
No.
I'm not your mommy. I'm like, what? Are you, is this Stephanie Miller? She's like, yes. I'm like, what? She's like, why does a radio station keep calling me?
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, I got the letter from Roland. They gave the other Stephanie Miller. Yeah, she's probably still in Asheville having a diva fit. She's probably, where is my VIP handler? And I said no. Hydrangeas. Yeah, she's used to now.
Because we all know that
she loads
hydrangeas.
Yeah, my mom. Exactly.
Yes. So did your mom?
I finally got.
Was your mom sitting by herself
finally,
in the lobby or something?
Here's the punchline. I finally got in late and went to my mom's room. Guess what? She had Fox News blaring on the door. That's how I knew it was her room. Oh, it's the right Stephanie Miller. I can hear Fox News through the door. Anyway, so yeah, but it was fine, and I was unable to talk her out of going to the show. But the good news is, I stole her hearing aid. She couldn't hear a thing I said.
Oh, good.
But she had a lovely time, and she was the bigger rock star than me. There were people just lined up to talk to my mom, because she has good stories.
Of course.
I told the story, like she danced once with Lyndon Johnson, who played a little grab ass with her. I'm like, ask her. And I said, this is the only time I'll say something bad about a liberal at the Sexy Liberal Show. Lyndon Johnson, kind of a perv. A little bit of a perv.
Oh, dear.
And I did mention John Edwards is a douche nozzle.
Yes, good.
So that was from my mom. So I changed things a little for my mom. All right. Anyway, we had fabulous. We actually had a fabulous. But it really was, I think Hal also missed his connection. And then everybody, John Fugel saying his wife, Roland, there were no flights out of New York Friday because of weather. And then yesterday there was no flights back, so they had to drive back to New York 9 hours.
God, it sounds like weather in New York was crappy over the weekend.
Yes. Mine was just... I only had a half hour layover. Houston Airport? Have you ever run through Houston Airport?
It's huge.
Huge.
Yes.
Huge.
Yes.
So the flight landed a few minutes late, and we ran through Houston Airport and then missed the last flight to Asheville. A couple of minutes.
At least they didn't make you spend the night in Houston. At least they
yes.
got you kind of close to
Asheville.
Could have
been worse. I'm like, Charlotte, fine. Just get me the hell out of Houston. All right, so lots more fun stuff. And we have Katrina Vandenhoevel from The Nation, 58 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good. Hey, all right, now, hands up.
Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Check us out on Facebook. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Stephanie Miller Show on Facebook. We're going to get some pictures up from Asheville.
Yep, I'm going to do that during this next interview.
How great does my 88-year-old Republican mom look?
She looks
awesome.
Incredible.
That's
because
all
cow.
Republicans make deals with the devil, clearly. Oh, I kid.
You know, I can see a lot of you in her face. It's sweet.
So. Well, as she would point out to you, oh, well, yes, dear, but Steffi's had a lot of work done. I have. Throw me under the bus at a moment's notice, my mom. Oh, we had a great time. Thank you, Asheville, North Carolina. By the way, Seattle, oh, dear God, this month's going to kill me. Seattle, 2 shows. We only have a few. Saturday night sold out, but there's a few tickets left for Friday. Get it now. Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and I coming up to Seattle. Oh, dear God, to the Moore Theater this Friday. Just barely had time to catch my breath from the Asheville homosexual mischief.
Whatever.
And a cesspoolness. All right. Speaking of our fine Americans, I love, I'm not saying if you've watched the debates and watched Michelle Bachmann that they have all the dumb girls and we have the smart girls. I'm just saying, Exhibit A, Katrina VandenHeuvel of the Nation, our buddy, our pal, who writes a brilliant piece, Can a Movement Save the American Dream? Good morning, Katrina.
Good morning, Stephanie. You're too kind.
Oh.
If there is such a club, you're in it. That's the top of the list.
Oh, honey. Yeah, how about noted scientist Michelle Bachmann? Yeah, so a guy told me that condoms cause leprosy, so I thought I'd pass that along.
I thought there was a move on in this country to roll back, repeal the New Deal, maybe the Great Society, but I think we're heading into rolling back the Enlightenment, you know, modernity, faith and
right.
belief of science and scientific inquiry.
Yeah, anyway. and the very idea of science at all. So, Katrina, this piece is really important as usual, but really great. I mean, you give us a heads up, on October 3rd, activists from across the country are going to gather in Washington for the Take Back the American Dream Conference in the belief that only a citizens' movement can save an American dream that grows ever more distant. Tell us about what's going on.
Well, you know, over the summer, this movement, it's an umbrella movement in many ways, has had 15 house parties, has worked with citizens to craft a statement of principle that is really, you know, kind of in the mainstream, Stephanie. It's about rebuilding our country and rebuilding an American dream that, yes, has almost always been unfulfilled in many ways, but is one we must aspire to as a nation. And the cruelty in our country, I think, today is so dominant that we're far from it. But on October 3rd, about 1,500 people from across the country, many of them mobilized in these past months by what's happened in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. where we saw teachers and students and firefighters joining with union members, now moving to Ohio, where there's going to be a referendum that will try to push back the right-wing governor's attempt to end collective bargaining, the right of workers. And, you know, it's the idea of citizens taking control of their democracy and the need to clean up our politics and to rebuild an economy that works for working people. And I think what is important about this is some will compare it to the Tea Party, and maybe in its formation it has that quality. But what's very different is that the principles this emerging movement champions are really principles that represent a majority view in this country, unlike, I would argue, very, you know, extreme views of the Tea Party.
Well, I mean, I think as usual, you crystallize it so well when you talk about the American dream. I mean, just that basic, as you say, that hard work can earn you a good life, a good job, decent pay, security,
That's
a home
right.
in a safe neighborhood, health care, secure retirement, good education for your kids. And, you know, I think, as you so rightly point out, every element of the dream at this point seems imperiled.
Every element. I mean, we've seen the growing inequality, an economy that's broken for all but the top 1%, houses, underwater literally and figuratively, and a right wing that is unwilling to help those who've been decimated by disasters in these last weeks and years. And it's no accident. I think sometimes there's this idea of sort of immaculate conception, or there is no alternative, or this is what we're due. But you know, it results from specific policies that we now need to challenge that have weakened workers and liberated, you know, CEOs and starved social protections and savaged America's middle class and shredded the safety net. So it's a chance for people to come together. And I was interested, there was a piece in the New York Times yesterday by very important historian Michael Kazin, a historian of populist movements. And he's right to argue that when progressives achieve success in the past, whether organizing unions or fighting for equal rights, the they seldom bet their future on politicians. You need good people inside the system.
Well,
but you also need to build around them to push the ideas and policies.
Katrina, one line in your piece reminded me of both of the Republican front runners right now in the presidential race. You write, corporations continue to ship good jobs abroad, Mitt Romney's company,
while
the few jobs created at home are disproportionately in the low-wage sector, Rick Perry.
So
you're right. And you point out the statistic, the richest 1% capture nearly a quarter of the nation's income, control about 40% of its wealth. They have pocketed almost all of the rewards of the past decade's economic growth. I mean, that's it in a nutshell.
But here's, I think the kind of cult of balance in our media does a great disservice to people in this country, wherever you stand on the ideological spectrum. And let's be honest, the Rick Perry's and the Romney's of this world right now are standing for the, for the 1%, by the 1% of the 1% of people in this country. But it has been a bipartisan problem in these last decades to really not treat working people with the respect and dignity they are owed. Sure, there's been a fight to maintain the security, the Social Security, the Medicare, those programs much more vigorously fought by the Democrats. But we need much more full-throated programs to rebuild this country. And for that, we're seeing a good start. We got a progressive caucus, which put out a great people's budget this past year to counter a pretty lame budget by the establishment Democrats. But I do think you need to move, and people are going to be moving this. And we're seeing it around the world, anyway.
Katrina, maybe, and you mentioned the Tea Party in your piece and just now. I mean, maybe we're lucky that they are going so far, so extreme right, because in my opinion, this is one of the clearest contrasts we've seen. I mean, as you write so rightly here, GOP zealots would roll back not simply Obama's reforms, but the Great Society, the New Deal, indeed much of the 20th century.
Right.
If ever there's been a contrast between progressives and regressives, this is it, isn't it?
I totally agree, but we can't sit back and expect, and I know you wouldn't do this, Stephanie, and expect that their extremism will move so far out that we will succeed in rebuilding this American dream. What we need to do is lay out a vision of a country. We want to live in a country that is of justice, of fairness, of equality. Fight for that. So in this period where there's so much turbulence, as things move, as there's great fear and anxiety and instability, that there is a, that there is motion and ideas that capture. Because I think progress, as we, comes to an enlightened political class in coalition with an energized people, at the moment, the gulf between Washington and the American people grows ever larger. And the Tea Party dominates, and, dominates not only the political sphere, but the media, Stephanie, I was just doing some analysis, and there's been protests here in New York, Occupy Wall Street, to get back some of, let's take back some of what has been wreaked upon us through the financial crisis. But the coverage has been very sparse and odd. You get three Tea Partiers on a corner, and you get great coverage. And there was even a piece in, I think, the Post or the Times, Washington Post or the Times over the weekend, Stephanie, with the headline, Boisterous Crowds at Republican Debates. I mean, if we're going to deform and defame and degrade our language, boisterous? I mean, there were people cheering on execution, people dying without health care.
Right. Yeah.
And
booing a gay soldier.
Gay soldier who is standing up for his rights, who's standing up for his country by fighting for it. So we've got a lot of work to do to reshift the moral frame of our language, our politics, and our economy.
And as you quote our friend Van Jones, you say this requires a clear story, a compelling cause, a threat, villains, and heroes. The cause is to revive the American dream. I think that's exactly it. If you're like most of us watching those debates going, what? Who are we as America? Really? As you write, can the American Dream movement or any truly populist movement build with President Obama in the White House? Disappointment in Obama has sparked a familiar debate among activists. Many fear doing anything will weaken him, given the calamity would result if extremist Republicans take over the White House. So you've heard calls for primaries, as you say, in some, some people say time to abandon the Democratic Party. I couldn't disagree more. How do you
feel? My view is that this kind of movement, wind at the back of a president who, as we've seen, has been confronted by people who want to undermine him, take him down, and the forces of establishment money and power, wind at his back that's important and I think a valuable thing. I also think the primary challenge idea, as is being floated now by some people, is being misinterpreted. If you read it carefully, it's really about advancing ideas that deserve a hearing, progressive ideas, and it's really about giving President Obama a backbone, a spine, and they argue a conscience. You can disagree with that. So it's defeating him. It's about pushing progressive ideas. So everyone's finding their tactics. The movement here is much more about the wind at his back in a different way. The electoral challenge is always a more difficult one in our system.
But I think, Katrina, I'm sure you, like many people, his jobs plan, his tax plan, his speeches, going to the bridges and talking about infrastructure. I feel a new sort of, what you call in your peace, the hope that change is possible. I think that out there.
But you know what? Part of it is the election looming upon us has concentrated the mind in the White House. The other is the fact that I think, let's be honest, after 2 years of trying to, one can argue play footsie with Republicans who are, obstructionist at best, there's a growing awareness that that's not moving the country in the direction President Obama has laid out over these last years. The greatest speech he gave, which was truly kind of foundational, was at Cooper Union in April 2009. What he's doing now is important, laying out a jobs program, but we all need to be there to keep pushing toward even if it doesn't get through this obstructionist Republican operation, we need to keep pushing forward the ideas that will appeal to people who understand that, there's a government on their side, not just a government that wants to shaft them or be rigged against them.
And I love the way you close your piece. That takes a movement. Now is the time to build one. Yep. That's what I say is let's put the wind at the president's back and all the stuff, that we believe in. That's the main thing to me is let's not let them demoralize us and, nothing's going to change and they're all the same because, now's the time to fight back. Just a great piece, Katrina, as usual.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you for having me on.
Go to the nation. Can a movement save the American dream? Time for a movement. Katrina says so. And she's the smartest girl in class. Thanks so much, Katrina. Talk to you soon. All right. There she goes. Great stuff.
And those are posted at your Facebook page and up at your new Google Plus page.
What? Of course it is. All night doing that.
You have no idea what Google Plus is.
Oh, 18 minutes after the hour. Right back with Rick Overton live in studio as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Oh, I gotta say, that was fantastic.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Jay in Washington, you're going to Sexy Liberal this weekend?
Yes, ma'am. How are you this morning?
Good, honey. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller, and I'd kind of like to be your official old white married man.
Bring it on.
My wife and I celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary last week, and I gave her 2 tickets to go to the show. We're going to be sitting third row center.
Friday or Saturday?
Friday.
All right. I'll give you a shout out. Yay.
Keep up all the good work. We really enjoy the show.
Aw, thank you, honey. All right. There'll be lots of full frontal nudity and live sex acts. So happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Okay, good. All right. Fabulous. A diamond? No. You know, it'd be really funny if Newt Gingrich got his wife tickets to Sexy Liberal instead of Tiffany's. Okay.
And then tells her, honey, I'm leaving you.
Yeah.
During the show.
Who's that voice? Hey, everybody, look who's here. It's Rick Overton, comedian extraordinaire.
Sorry, didn't mean to jump in pre-intro, but
that's all right.
Love you. Thanks for having me back.
Stepping into the Jim Ward void this morning. Jim is in Hawaii this morning. He'll be back. He'll be back later today.
Well, as he explained, it's because his wife was invited to be at the premiere of the TV show Pan Am because she was a Pan Am stewardess.
I know it.
Yes.
We were just talking about that. I want to watch that show. I haven't seen it yet.
It was on last night.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. That was his one of his very first Squeezy McFeel Pants fantasies, and he married one. It's so touching.
Please bring your seat up to a locked and upright position.
Oh, by the way, pictures of the Sexy Liberal Show, Asheville pictures, are up already, some of them, in sexyliberal.com, Sexy Liberal Facebook. Oh, I don't know about sexyliberal.com yet.
Right, on your Facebook page and at your new Google Plus page.
Oh, my God.
I know.
All right.
Another thing I have to curate.
You don't have enough to do. I keep looking for busy work. Oh, can I just tell you one of the pictures
I will
right now admit liberal guilt about? You got to see the freaking limo that they sent.
Oh,
it was one of those SUV limos where you're just like, I'm a liberal. I can't get in this. This is the largest car I've ever seen. In Asheville, North Carolina, you're going to make me get in this. And it looks like I'm having a diva hydrangea fit. And
yeah.
I did not order that limo, but it was very nice of them. They sent for all of us to go to the show. Yeah. This picture of my mom and I outside this giant. I'm like, oh.
Well,
was
you
it
know,
stocked?
At least you didn't do like the drunk bachelorettes. Woo!
That's what it looked like. I was
window.
Like, oh,
woo!
No.
Out the sunroof. Woo! Look what we pitched in together and rented for a day. That they'll have to hose off to get all the hurl off the seats tomorrow.
Proving woo! That, yeah, it used to be classy to be able to get a limo, but no, not so much.
Was it stocked?
Computer says no.
No.
It wasn't?
I know.
Oh.
Right?
They were warned.
Yeah. Clear the fridge.
Yeah, we got out and sent to the station manager. A little more leg room next time. Be nice.
Yeah.
White Bay. So did you watch, speaking of entertainment, did you watch the last Republican debate? Have you watched any of them? Have
you
seen them?
Yeah, I saw. Yeah. Mm. And the Perry.
The booing of the gay soldier, of course, being the highlight. The you know, right after Don't Ask, Don't Tell was overturned, of course, they booed the gay soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, people say that makes me ashamed to be an American. You go, no, I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud I disagree with that.
Yeah. Well, and I thought it was
ironic.
There are
real Americans left that isn't, don't hate America because of this. These are the guys that are messing America up. It's like someone steals the radio out of your car. I don't hate that radio. I want the radio back.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't hate that kind of radio.
I just thought it was an ironic in a debate where I think, and Chris, am I right? I think that Mitt Romney and Rick Perry really, really need to have sex. And they need, and I think they're going to soon. I think they're going to have really angry gay hate sex at the next time.
That's right.
To bring back a Saturday Night Live sketch from this weekend, who's the top?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Just gonna,
the one with the magic underwear.
I think
underwear.
They're going to get like right up in each other's grill, and then one of them, you, Social Security, is not a Ponzi scheme. That's not what you said in your book. And then one of them's going to mess up the other's perfect hair, and then they're going to have really hot, gay, angry hate sex right in front of that.
Chicka-wow guitar. Boom, boom, wah, oh, wow.
Just my prediction.
Oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow.
And it's just, Michelle Bachmann, you just need her to stay there to see what, you know, crazy she's going to say next. Because it just, yeah, I'm waiting for that one. Because, you know, she just mentioned what some woman told her about.
Yeah.
That's her noted scientist, Michelle Bachmann.
Sure.
Mm. Yeah.
I know science
stuff. Guy told me condoms cause leprosy. So when I'm president, gas will be a penny and your won't fall off from leprosy. That's going to happen.
There'll be no taxes at all, ever. No taxes ever again.
Exactly.
No one has to pay anything for anything because the rapture's coming.
Yeah, there you go. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Rick Overton live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're the Jackie O of our time.
Ha ha. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Just catching my breath from the Asheville Sexy Liberal Show. And he had Friday. It's yay.
Searching for something better to do than sip lattes at the original Starbucks? Well, come sip some sexy. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Seattle. And you will be entertained.
So, the flannel shirt deal, is that a nod to the crispy Seattle weather?
On September 30th, at the Moore Theater, John Fugelsang, House Fox, and the woman who is sharper than the Space Needle, Stephanie Miller, will spread their progressive sound across the Puget Sound. Tickets are available online at stgpresents.org or by calling 877-784-4849. It's more affordable than a low-fat, half-calf, double espresso mocha ice frappuccino.
That's right.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Get ready, Seattle, to be sleepless, sweaty, and sexy.
Okay, thank you, Shado. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. We've been talking about the watching the Republican debates. David in Washington has some thoughts on the polling. Hi, David.
Hey, you and Katrina hit on something really important. The TV, quote-unquote, news media, for 3 years has given the Koch-funded Tea Party movement so much coverage, and Obama's been attracting his usual crowds, but you rarely see any pictures of how many people really are showing up, except where you can hear, mm-hmm. you know, through the volume how many people are there. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And so, you know what I mean? And so when you go back to all this polling data, and I'm not saying all polling is fake, but ever since Barack Obama became president, I've my gut is just telling me that these polling numbers have just come out all of a sudden, especially after these last three debates, this scary, creepy clown show that's the Republican debates. I mean, are you serious? I mean, can you imagine Barack Obama debating Romney? Barack Obama would mop the floor with Romney's face because he's such a flip-flopper. He's such a hypocrite.
But you hit on a good point. A lot of this has to do with media coverage, and there has to be a story. There has to be a race. So, you know, you're right. They're going to cast this. And meanwhile, you go look at it seems like one campaign after another is imploding on the right, and yet, go ahead.
Exactly. And Frank Luntz, I mean, he's behind the not just the polling, but it's designed to instantly manipulate the low information person. You know what I mean? Because they are so desperate to get Barack Obama out and make him a one-term president. I mean, that's the main headline when you turn on the TV news until all the shows start. I mean, you and Hal and John Fugelsang can't stop being on tour. You guys got to stay on tour until November 2012.
Oh, okay, great. I'll get right on that. Thank you.
Or even past that.
That's what I was saying. That's my favorite question. When's the tour over? I'm like, apparently never. Apparently, I'm worked into my grave.
In perpetuity.
In perpetuity. By the way.
Careful what you ask for.
Right? Yeah.
By the way, I don't know, maybe I need wedding music for this. I found a future husband in the New York Times.
Okay.
What?
Yeah. What? Okay, that's good.
Okay.
He's a happy, clappy liberal. Someone named John, from Chicago.
Mm.
He was responding to another post. He said, Dr. Willenbring, as he posted something earlier, recites the standard litany of professional former supporters of the president. Barack Obama is weak, disappointing, and too prone to compromise. It's surprising how often this line has been reprised when the facts are otherwise. Against united Republican opposition with little help from Blue Dog Democrats in Congress, with fickle support from former quote-unquote supporters in the media and in the blogosphere, in the face of near depression and two hot wars, Mr. Obama has accomplished more toward the Democratic cause than any president since Lyndon B. Johnson. While the former supporters attack and analyze his character and personal traits and diminish his achievements, Mr. Obama plods ahead, scoring victories wherever he can. The real question, what more could Mr. Obama have accomplished to date if he'd had consistent help from his quote-unquote friends? And why do so many on the left choose to turn on their own? To what end? To depress the pace? To give the right-wing talking points? To foster a losing third-party effort that will succeed in putting a Republican in the White House? I just don't get it. John in Chicago, marry me! Someone named John Colbert wrote that in the
Colbert.
Times. Yeah, well, I don't know if it's a relative. But anyway, I just thought that was, you know, very to the point. Because I mean, I'm reading. I just feel like, do you see this in the media? This was Washington Post headline, for instance. Nearly 1 million more young adults have obtained health insurance since the 2010 health care law began requiring insurers to let adult children stay on their parents' insurance until age 26. According to government data, a Gallup poll unveiled also pointed to an identical pattern. And you don't see that anywhere.
I wonder what Obama could have accomplished unopposed.
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of planet would this look like right now?
Well, that's,
if everything he said up right top, bang, 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 happened down in a row, you know?
And let's say it all, say it together. President Herman Cain.
Ah,
think about it. Think
Cain.
About it. Get back to us. He just won the Florida straw poll.
America is a nation of dream makers and dream achievers.
Mm-hmm. And free twisty bread for everybody.
Send Washington a message.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, they sent a repair
and
message.
And if it's there after a half hour, you get the message free.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, but I mean, that was a big upset. Rick Perry was there and campaigning. And you know.
Herman Cain, moi, got twice as many votes as the next contender, Rick Perry.
Why does he refer to himself in the third person?
Yes.
Oh, God, that was annoying when Bob Dole did it. Bob Dole thought it was annoying when Bob Dole didn't. Didn't Bob Dole?
Bob Dole finds this annoying.
Bob Dole was like, Bob Dole, to stop referring to Bob Dole in the third person. It's
I'm
creepy.
Going to fourth person. I've heard Bob Dole doesn't like it.
Sam in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Sam.
Hi. Hey, has anybody heard any Republican anywhere give a specific detailed plan for creating jobs, as in maybe have a business in South Carolina, take a pledge, they're going to hire 75 people from janitor to vice president and this company. And the, but has anybody right. heard a specific detailed plan at all?
No.
Ever?
Sam, well, that's the thing, is they're just against whatever the president is for, even if they've previously been for it.
Some of them are planning to name regions outside of Bombay Charlottesville.
Yeah.
So that when you read the heading on the address, you think you're still hiring Americans.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so I love this story. There's panic already. Perry reels after Florida flop. The alarm bells are ringing for Rick Perry's presidential campaign. Already? He, of course, leaped to the top of national polls. There's always a big new hope every 2 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the Republican
side.
He's
the Justin Bieber of politics.
Finds himself suddenly reeling from a pair of setbacks in the country's most prominent political battleground. First, he drew scathing reviews, of course, for his debate performance in Orlando last Thursday. Then he suffered a thumping defeat in the Florida Republican straw poll.
Thumping.
To long shot candidate, pizza guy. Crazy pizza guy, no less. One Republican pollster said Perry's showing in the straw poll was disastrous. He was here. He worked the crowd. It just proves the debate performance really undermined his support. Perry's got to retool, reorganize, and retrench very quickly. They've really got to go into damage control mode and right this ship. They've got a relatively brief amount of time to do it. One Republican official who had been ready to endorse him said he'd been stunned by the debates and predicted that Perry can't fix it. It's too late already.
He's stunned by the debates.
Yeah.
Doi. don't use flash cameras. It's like King Kong. The flashes are scaring him.
Well, we were talking about, there was a piece, you know, because I was joking that he's like George Bush, but without the intellect and humility.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it turns out someone wrote a piece about how he's like George Bush, without the, because they were saying that, you know, Republican Party has so dominated the state of Texas, he's never had to appeal to work with, even George Bush had to work with Democrats in the legislature there. He's so, you know, unused to having to even, you know, go any further left than the Tea Party crazy right wing.
He's like the lion from Born Free, you know, the one that was always kept in captivity, Elsa, and then they release it in the wild and squirrels kill it in the park, you know, because it has no instincts anymore.
I don't believe squirrels actually killed the lion in the
park.
All right,
no,
if you
but
say
you get
so.
The idea.
Rick Perry.
Domesticated.
Yeah. What Americans are looking for in the slickest candidate.
No.
They're looking for an authentic, principled leader.
Okay.
Was that him just saying, okay, I sucked in the debate?
Yeah.
But nobody wants a president that's good at debating.
He said, I whiffed that one.
Woof!
Nailed it!
I mean, yikes!
And he's like, he's an assembled animal that they took into a shop.
Reagan's
and
hair.
Reagan's hair, Bush's speech, Romney's eyebrows. He's Rickenstein.
Yeah. We were saying he looks exactly like Josh Brolin playing George W. Bush in the movie. We're like, okay, now they're really with us on purpose. Come on.
Oliver Stone's directed my life.
Yeah, somebody actually wrote a piece on it. It's so pathetic that, like, you can tell he's physically trying to look Reagan-esque, like that thing where Reagan would, you know, cock his head and look at the person talking with that.
He's got the confusion down.
Yeah. He's naturally confused. Rick Perry on this.
I think Americans just don't know sometimes which Mitt Romney they're dealing with. Is it the Mitt Romney that was on the side of against the Second Amendment before he was for the Second Amendment? Was he before these social programs from the standpoint of he was for standing up for Roe versus Wade before he was against Roe versus Wade?
Oh, boy. I get it.
Okay. He's like when your Mac starts to cycle and just gets the little wheel there and you just have the thong.
The spinning beach ball thing.
Yeah. Spinning beach, you got a reboot.
Any of us comedians can recognize that. We've all, you know, muffed a joke halfway through. You're like, nope, there's no saving that. I got to just leave that there.
You got to make the decision whether to start over or just move on.
Hey, dating is weird.
Arnold in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Arnold.
Hey, man. How you doing, Miss Stephanie? How you doing today? The Republicans went and got themselves a black candidate, too. My goodness, man. Herman Cain, what a good. They're going to throw away more black votes down a toilet like they did in 2000 in Florida. to get rid of them votes than they would ever turn out to vote for Herman Cain. Herman Cain, the black. You know what? Back then in the 2008 election, you had you were telling most of your black listeners about that Barack Obama could become president of the United States, but all of us was like, you know, are you serious? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Herman Cain could no longer. I mean, yeah. I don't even understand how you want to straw a vote down there because they don't.
Yeah, well, it's Jim Ward.
People voting for a Republican is like chickens going to vote for Colonel Sanders for a president.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there you go. That's what Jim Ward always says. You do get that it's not just any black guy, right?
Yeah. it seems like most of the African-American pundits on any of these shows who represent the Republican side of things, you can just see there's a sweaty, nervous, blinking in eye code.
Yeah.
They're making me do this. They have footage on me. There's photos.
Trust me, I've been in a green room with Ron Christie. I know what you're talking about. It's awkward.
Oh, by the way, Todd writes on your Google Plus page, Rick Perry looks and acts like Junior, the sheriff's dim-witted son in Smokey and the Bandit.
Dang it. Dang it, Junior.
Sorry, Paul.
46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Side effects may include loss of clothing, rug burn, shortness of breath, and sore abdominals the next morning. What in the world is up?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
He over here. Yeah, I heard he got that hot new thing. It's called
Stephanie Miller.
Let's get it going.
Eat it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. How much do we love our sponsors, Chris? Like our brand new You Send It.
Yeah.
Oh, do we? Rick Overton, I have to explain You Send It to. Okay. So, listen, I'm.
I got You Send It.
Do you really?
Yeah.
It is the most awesome thing ever.
Yeah.
We use
it all the time.
Yeah, I just did my 50th birthday trip to France, and my girlfriend Lisa did this amazing montage of pictures and music, and we wanted to post it, right?
Right. But
then you have
big.
To do YouTube, and then you can't use your own music. You have to use their music.
Right.
So, and the file's too big to send. You keep getting that bounce back thing.
Yeah.
So we just this morning sent it out to all y'all. If you're
everybody who subscribes to StephanieMiller.com. Just got a link in my email this morning on how to download it via You Send It.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's what he uses to send everything today. You know, all our audio, our podcasts, because it's too big a file.
All my comedy sets I send, because that's
right.
Video
right.
is tons of data, you know, and boom, right through.
How many times have you seen, like, someone sends you something, you go, I can't open that, it's too big, or it didn't go through, or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm like, I can't send it. Here, you send it.
And that's where they got the idea. YouSendIt.com. Type Stephanie in the box.
Exactly.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Melissa in Phoenix on Rick Perry. Hello, Melissa.
I wanted to say, after that last clip of Rick Perry, not only does he have Reagan's hair, Mitt Romney's eyebrows, and Bush's speech, but he also ate some of Sarah Palin's word salad.
Yes, he did. Good one. Yeah, I was not prepared for that. He was very stumbly.
Yeah.
And I love the things that get booed are Mitt Romney. Giving health care to what, 99% of men? That's a bad thing. That's bad. You know, letting uninsured people die, that's good.
Yeah.
At Republican debates.
These are like the anti-people. Everything is in reverse.
Yeah, and the one compassionate conservative thing Rick Perry has done, that's...
If you say that we should not educate children who have come into our state for no other reason than they've been brought there by no fault of their own, I don't think you have a heart.
Yeah, and so he got booed for that.
Yeah, and got taken to task by Mitt Romney.
Yes.
I think if you're opposed to illegal immigration, it doesn't mean that you don't have a heart. It means that you have a heart and a brain.
Oh, please, you can't even keep him off your front lawn, you. He did. He had illegals working on his yard. So his credibility is somewhat suspect. Laura in Chicago on the big story this morning, whether the Governor Soros from New Jersey is going to get in now. He might be the great new hope. Hello, Lori.
Hi, Steph. Yeah, you know what? Imagery is everything in politics, and we all know it. If Christie should be the chosen one, just, compare, the image of a fit, trim President Obama bounding up on a podium stage or whatever, on campaign stops. And then, the camera pans on Christie as he kind of as he is huffing and puffing, and slowly walks up the stage.
Lori, the image you're giving me, that could be a little Harlem Globetrotters. The president could be Meadowmark Lemon, and he's the, Washington General.
Yeah, no, it sounds cool, but you know what? You
Marine
see that
One will
time
have to be
time.
A Marine One will have to switch from a helicopter to a bus.
Yeah, but I mean, but his health, you know, his health issues are going to matter if that man is elected or, or nominated.
Yeah. Oh no, I mean, and I've had people call that say they literally don't think he is, you know, physically able to.
We're allowed to have concerns about his health, just like we were allowed to have concerns about Dick Cheney's health.
Yeah. You know? Or John McCain's.
Or John McCain's.
I call him Christy Cream.
Yes. This is all the rage this morning in Politico. Christie in spotlight as Perry Sags.
Yeah.
Wow. This is becoming like a weekly news site. It's like, okay, he's out. Who's next?
Wait, Perry Sags.
They say Chris Christie is reconsidering pleas from Republican elites and donors to run for president in 2012, according to Politico. He has indicated he's listening to big money backers and Republican influence makers and let them know in roughly a week or so if he has moved off his threat of suicide vow. You remember that?
Yeah.
What I gotta do? Freaking kill myself here.
Yes,
boom!
Secret
boom.
Serviceman going, grab his thumb.
What, am I going to whack myself? The Politico writing, Texas Governor Rick Perry's candidacy has failed to clear a basic bar with elites and some donors. His shoddy debate performance in Orlando has only highlighted a window for some, and again, better be a big window.
Yeah.
For someone.
Bay window.
They just, I mean, two things in the story. They really hate Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
This literally has been a like, anybody, is there anybody other than Mitt Romney?
Bueller. You know who we haven't heard from in a couple of weeks?
Hmm.
Sarah Palin.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if she's getting ready to launch something.
Oh, boy.
I'm laying low.
Yeah, you betcha.
Yeah.
You won't see that coming.
Don't I look sane now?
I love this.
Yes.
Finally,
oh God,
do I look sane?
Sarah Palin brings the gravitas, finally.
She looks capable compared to the rest of these people.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
She was just waiting her turn. No.
Oh, boy. There is another factor, as one prominent Republican who has watched Perry for the past few debates put it bluntly, he can string a sentence together. So now that's the bar.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes.
He sure can string a sentence together. Please welcome the next president of the United States.
There he is.
Sentence stringing.
Christie, I love this part. Christie is known for popping off with reporters. He has never been tested on national level. Yeah, there could be a Sopranos scene. That it really could. A really thin-skinned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jersey. Yeah.
Rhino hide, but thin-skinned.
Exactly. I think that could be entertaining. Yes. You really think so, Sarah Palin? That would be spectacular for comedy. See, someone was asking me this weekend how I'm not on TV as much. A, because I'm gone all the time now with the tour.
And Larry King retired.
Yes, and B, because you have to be somewhat polite on television. You can't go, well, she's just the stupidest bitch that's ever lived.
Yeah.
She makes me want to pour, her voice makes me want to pour hot coffee in my vagina. You kind of,
oh,
you have to
man.
Go, I don't, too much, tone it down, really, for when?
Good morning.
Did you get that
news,
Busters?
Oh, was this show live? Was this show?
Newsbusters isn't going to run with that, Stephanie.
Man, that's why I said
I'm not
it's
a coffee
lovely.
Drinker, but in certain, you know, the thing though is that with Sarah Palin, she could win digitally.
Excuse me.
With the digital voting machines.
Oh.
Someone could just, you know, walk in, just punch that other little SIM card in the back of those things. Suddenly everything is Palin. You know,
there you go.
and they're restricting voting rights in so many states.
Yes. I know. Well, we've been talking about it. Matthew in Asheville, North Carolina. Were you at Sexy Liberal, my friend?
I sure was, and I met you. I'm the guy who actually does chores.
Like awesome.
And stuff.
Yes,
yeah.
And I offered to. Yes.
That is
he's the guy from the Cialis commercial that actually does chores.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you have fun, baby?
I sure did. I just want to tell anybody who's listening that's on the fence about going to you guys to the Sexy Liberal show in their area, please just buy your ticket now. Just go. It's hilarious.
Thank you, baby. Thank you. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Edie McClurg and Rick Overton on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Comedian Rick Overton live in studio. Edie McClurg on her way in. In the meantime, we just got an unsolicited testimonial for the Sexy Liberal Show in Asheville, Saturday night. Love you, North Carolina. Got to get your tickets now. Seattle is coming up Friday. There's only a few tickets left for that. Saturday is sold out. And then we got L.A., October 21st and 22nd, and San Francisco, October 28th and 29th. Mm. And we have new pictures up from Asheville at Sexy Liberal Facebook, etc. So there you go. Oh, and speaking of unsolicited testimonials, why, looky here. See, I just said it, and already Paula has written, "Staff, I've used YouSendIt for a couple of years. I'm a photographer. I provide my clients with low-res versions of the images because the smaller files are good enough for computer use and for small pictures in print. Many times, though, the client needs high-res for print advertising." Right? We have that all the time. You need a better resolution, yada yada. "I used to put the high-res on CD and deliver them to the client. Now I use YouSendIt. They can have the high-res within a matter of minutes. It saves me tons of time. I highly recommend this product." Well, thank you, Paula. We just emailed my friends photos and wada yada.
Whatever.
If you subscribe to StephanieMiller.com, we YouSendIt it you. Check it out. All right. Rick Overton, welcome back,
Steph.
My friend.
Thank you,
aren't you gallant? You went out to get Edie McClurg. Who is
my
clattering,
dear friend.
Who is clattering around
out
the studio.
To get me.
That's what I'm told in certain Hollywood circles.
That was a walking jab.
I see that.
A walk-by. Yeah. A walk-by shooting. Hey.
All right. We've been talking about the campaign. You've only been gone a week, and already Rick Perry's campaign has imploded. I don't know if you're paying attention.
This was not Rick Perry's night.
Rick Perry has had a bit of a hard time with these debates.
If you want Rick, here Rick is. Come and get Rick. But you better hurry, cause Rick may not back.
Well, I thought Rick Perry would get better. He hasn't.
Did I hear you say that he hasn't a chance?
Perry was such a waffler.
Will they nominate that tool Mitt Romney?
Corporations are people, my friend.
Who got the dogs out?
It was Rick Perry. Did not have a good debate.
Comfortable as a chump opening a suitcase.
Better hurry, cause Rick's going back.
But he did look dumb. I'm getting to think that Texas miracle was him getting out of high school.
All right. Did you watch the debate?
Oh.
I'm guessing that's a no.
He was so unimpressive.
Yes, I was actually surprised.
I want the name Rick back.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm not letting you wreck that.
You already stole your good name.
I want the color red back, and I want Rick back.
Yeah, sure. Well, you've lopped off the K. You're only R-I-C, right?
Well, that's only because the improv ran out of K's in the box of letters for the marquee. And that's what changed my name, is they're rattling the box. They're out of K's. The funniest letter in the whole box at the improv, and they ran out of K's.
Is that a true story?
Yeah, everyone saw the marquee at the improv and thought it was RIC.
So you just
RIC.
Went with it. Okay, so maybe you don't know that there's a magical comedic circle that's going to happen here, my friend. Do you know the fun fact about me? When I was right out of college, I used to answer the phone at Laugh Factory, and my job was also to put the letters up with a big pole on the Laugh Factory sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that big pole, he got really mad because you took his job.
I didn't do it, but I remember being really bitter. And I remember being really bitter because, like, letters would fall down and hit me. And I was like, someday I'm going to be up on this marquee. And one day I was.
That's right.
And that's the beautiful story.
Oh. You paid your dues, honey.
That's not his job, Edie, I'll have you know.
I know, probably was.
That pole is not easy. That's a long pole. It is not easy to handle.
Ugh, they put a new guy in this weekend. Okay, get the ladder.
Oh, boy.
I wish one guy would just stay.
Yeah. It's amazing I love Carlos Alzraki as much as I do, because that is a bitch. That's a long name.
Oh.
You're buff at the end of that one. Look at my guns.
By the way, Rich in Carson City says, "Steph, I'm using Rick Overton's laugh in this year's Halloween display. Will I owe him royalties?" Yes. Yes. People love your man giggle.
I'm flattered. Thanks a lot.
Dan in Virginia on Herman Cain winning the Florida straw poll. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Steph.
Hello.
Hey, I think here's an insight about that straw poll. People, I think we overlook the fact that Florida is really Tea Party Central. Remember, they had a former governor lose to Rubio, who ran on reforming Social Security. Right?
Yeah.
So now Herman Cain, now in the debate, he gives an anecdote about health care. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's bad news for Romney. Romney finished third. I thought, you know what I mean, because they don't want to run against Obama with that, having to, you know, defend. Why are you creating all this hysteria over Obamacare? And then you got this Mormon,
right.
who has Romney care. They don't want to have, they want to protect themselves against the charge of racism. That's why Kane won.
Yeah, well, the only reason I drew from that is we have to vote for him because America's too uptight. That was the that's what he is the reason he gave.
Yeah.
They're it's like a tic tac toe where suddenly you realize you're cornered from every angle.
Yes. Exactly.
Oh no, you caught me left and right.
All right. The president
so many people are still hurting. So many people are still barely hanging on. And too many people in this city are still fighting us every step of the way. So I need your help.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure. Somebody mentioned this to me. They're not sure how valuable polling is this far out.
Yeah.
This is a different kind of polling now. Try to, you know what I'm saying. Pay attention. This is not that kind of poll now. I'm talking about a poll.
Well, straw poll. First there's a straw poll, then the wooden one, and the brick one. It's like the three little pigs, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the danger is because things are not good. And so I think the way they phrase certain poll questions, people, obviously the president's ratings are not going to be terrific right now. But we're so far out, too. And you look at this field and go, really? Which one of these people is going to beat him exactly?
Yeah.
But according to a new...
sacrificial people they put out front.
Right.
You know, it's like those test jokes you do with a crowd to see what they'll laugh at, you know? And then, okay, toss that topic.
And we can all admit as comedians, we try stuff out on our friends, and if it works, you're right, like, stop pretending that's conversation when you are trying stuff out on me.
Asking me a question like, is this funny, is not wondering really what I think.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'll test it anywhere, I'll test it anywhere.
Yeah, I just need you to approve.
Yes. according to a new Gallup poll, 65% of those polls that Obama is doing about the same are worse than George W. Bush. If you'd rather, 65% feel Obama's doing about the same or better than W.
A W got two terms.
Mm-hmm. The majority of Americans still fault Bush for the country's economic problems, and Obama polls competitively against his possible Republican contenders. Most of all, as the pollsters were saying, it's a year and a half before the election, so I don't know. You know, it's just that's everybody, they do polls, and then you have to report on the polls, and
Yeah. It's a lot of synthetic stuff.
Yeah.
It's like whenever an ad for a movie, it's your favorite comedy film of the summer, and it's still spring.
Yes. Yes, it is, really.
What?
How did that happen already? Here's a good, for instance, this story. Republicans bash No Child Left Behind, then bash Obama for trying to unravel it. They're just against anything that he's for. You know, it's like... if you talk to any teacher, they'll tell you No Child Left Behind has been a nightmare of underfunding and overtesting. So the Republican debate was filled with candidates' tirades about No Child Left Behind, you know, which was obviously George Bush's blah, blah, blah. After bashing No Child Left Behind and doing nothing to fix it themselves, the GOP has turned right and criticized the administration for moving ahead with reforms to scale it back. The Hill reports that Republicans are ready to pounce on Obama for issuing waivers to the states that will free them from many of the requirements.
These people are lucky that Obama doesn't come up to the podium and say, I am all for Americans not hitting themselves in the head with a hammer. Because in protest,
yeah, and the next debate will be all Republicans hitting themselves in the head with a hammer. The president is for this, and so, yeah. Obama's move is understood nationwide as a move toward ending the most hated parts of No Child Left Behind. This is the beginning of the end of the No Child era, said the president of the Center on Education. That's a nonpartisan group. Republicans' determination to criticize Obama when he's doing something they've long called for illustrates that they will find a way to attack him, no matter what he does.
Right. Just the opposite game.
Yeah.
Yes, you are. No, I'm not.
It's that commercial where it's the same idea where they go, yes, but I did this with my hands. And so it's different. When Obama does it, it's wrong.
Yeah. I'm chopping. I'm chopping and blocking.
We would do the same thing to No Child, but go like this when we do it. And then it's different. And also, he's black.
Yeah, primarily.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
By the way, this was a piece I was looking for. I had seen just a little while ago, Kurt Anderson in the Times. But it just, at least somebody's pointing out, the difference is the Republicans tend to be big liars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He writes, the headline was "Our Politics Are Sick," but it says we have a tendency to elect presidents who seem like the antithesis of their immediate predecessors. So I think they're saying Rick Perry fits in the pattern. He's like the anti-Obama, right? He's, you know, a reaction. He's the very opposite of careful and sober and understated, you know, because he's obviously a, you know, a little bit of a wild card. He writes, yet the most troubling thing about Perry and Michelle Bachmann and so many more, what's new and strange and epidemic in mainstream politics is the degree to which people inhabit their own make-believe worlds. They totally believe their vivid fictions. I did not know some of these fun facts, Crystal Boy. Everyone is entitled to his or own opinion. Perry is even entitled to his opinion, that states such as Texas might want to secede, as he threatened at a Tea Party rally 2 years ago, but he's not entitled to his own facts. He said, when we came into the nation in 1845... we were a republic. We were a standalone nation. And one of the deals was we can leave anytime you want. Anytime we want. So we're kind of thinking about that again. First of all, that's completely...
You're a lying sack of crap.
That's completely untrue.
Yeah,
like we just wrote in, yeah, in Texas, you can go anytime you want. Everybody else is, it's a United States, except for you guys.
And the news goes up and goes, sir, are you a liar? And he goes, no, I'm not a liar. And they go, well, there you have it. They keep asking a liar if he's a liar and expecting him to tell the truth.
Yes. Anyway, as they write in the Times, that special opt-out provision is entirely fiction, a Texas myth the governor of Texas apparently thinks is real. He also believes in the fiction of intelligent design campaigning in New Hampshire. He said that in Texas public schools, we teach both creationism and evolution, an assertion that's fiction itself. Last month, the Texas Board of Education unanimously rejected creationist biology textbooks. In Iowa, Perry served up a fresh viral internet fiction as his what-the-hell example of federal overregulation, a new rule forcing farmers to get special driver's licenses to drive tractors. In fact, the Obama administration had just taken the very opposite position, ruling that states should maintain common-sense exemptions to tractor-driving farmers. So that's the problem. When you're debating a side that does not care if they just use all lies in their arguments, you are already at a disadvantage.
Yeah, it's the disgrace is the networks that allow a lie to sit at the dinner table with the truth and say, well, you both have a point.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
There's no neutral. There is no actual center anymore.
Exactly. All right. 19 minutes after the hour, Rick Overton, Edie McClurg, live in studio as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, this is so amazing. It's all anybody in my class is talking about.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was fun like
Stephanie Miller.
Don't you?
Oh, Edie McClurg, there is no chair dancer that compares to her. Welcome to Chair Dancing with the Stars. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour. Edie McClurg, live in studio. Rick Overton, comedian extraordinaire.
Yay.
Good morning.
Edie, you were talking about Diane and I had in her attempt to swim halfway across the world.
Yes.
I'm turning 50 this Thursday, and I, listen.
Oh, honey.
I can barely make it out of the bathtub. I don't know what she was thinking.
Well, the thing is that she's now complaining, you know, that humans are such puny animals and we can't do anything. But the thing is, you know, a dolphin or something, they're only meant to do those things. Eat fish, go eat fish, fuck.
Pardon you.
Whoa!
My goodness, Edie McClurg dropping an F-bomb. Why, goodness.
Do some indiscriminate things, and then, you know. But the thing is that human animals have developed a larger brain capacity.
Yes.
We have codified languages, you know, all over the world. We have a mathematics that we've figured out.
Yeah.
So we're not meant to
swim.
Swim
like
90 miles.
No.
Yeah,
you know,
see a dolphin hike a dog park.
Before breakfast. Nuh-uh.
Oh, that's what when people ask me, do you want to try a marathon? I'm like, no,
and
I don't.
Says no.
No, that's why we invented motorized waste. We were not intended to run 26 miles, were we?
Monkey on a Segway or whatever.
No, we were intended to ride back away on a pig. Exactly. Anyway, thank you.
No pain, no pain.
By the way, in case you've just tuned in, Edie McClurg dropped her very first F-bomb. And I've never seen my producer lunge that quickly, because of all the guests, Chris, Edie McClurg would be the last one you'd think would drop an F-bomb.
I'm sitting in the wrong chair.
Oh, sorry.
I have to excuse myself somehow.
Okay. Clean it up over there, potty mouth. All right.
All right.
All right. So you saw, we were saying earlier, right, talking to Eric Bollert about how these Republicans, it's like a new first every week that they actually held up disaster relief to fellow Americans in order to, you know, they took that hostage in order to get more cuts or something that's never been tied to before, like the debt ceiling. So Eric Cantor, by the way, our favorite new website, Eric Cantor's bitchface.tumblr.
Bitchface.
.com. Awesome. House Republicans finally pushed through their continuing resolution after finding yet another $100 million in spending cuts that satiated the conservatives who wouldn't approve disaster relief funds without matching offsets. Boner and Cantor warned Senate Democrats against blocking funds for FEMA, despite the fact that a bipartisan Senate majority just passed $7 billion FEMA relief package a week ago. See, now they're trying to say it's Democrats' fault again. They're attempting to blame Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid and his Democratic colleagues for blocking disaster relief funds after they've spent the last several weeks blocking disaster relief funds.
They rely on a constituency that has no analytical skills whatsoever.
Yes.
Without that, I mean, evil only looks evil when you're able to identify evil.
Right. Well, I think we can identify evil by watching any Republican debate, and that's the last one, as we talked about, they booed a gay soldier. And I love this. Man. So
very heroic.
Megyn Kelly had Rick Santorum on Fox, whatever it is, America Live, something. And she mentioned, you know, brought up the booing. And she said, what was the question? The question was, the soldier asks, do you plan to circumvent the progress that has been made for gay and lesbian soldiers in the military? Very straightforward question on the week that Don't Ask, Don't Tell had been overturned.
That's right.
Anyway, so Santorum said, well, I condemn the people who booed that gay soldier. I have to admit, I seriously didn't hear those boos. Are you kidding me? Everybody heard. I mean, he said, heard them, I certainly would have commented on them. I just didn't hear those couple of boos. They weren't a couple of boos. It was a robust round of booing.
Well, you know, maybe Santorum's just numb to booing at this point.
Yeah. Well,
he just boos so much. Yeah, he just, you know, I block it out like one of those parents that the kid is screaming, running around, and they're just reading the menu in the restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't hear it anymore.
I can't. I'm deaf now. Seriously, how ridiculous was that answer? I don't think there should be sex of any kind in the military.
Yeah.
Oh, you are such a moron.
You are an idiot.
Like, that's when you're picking up in the middle of a firefight in Kandahar. That's when most people get really hot.
Yeah, no sex in the military. All right, you got to go to a Blackwater party, man.
Yeah. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back with Edie McClurg and Rick Overton live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I used to think these lines gave me integrity as a journalist. But who am I kidding? They're just wrinkles.
I'm getting old, and I'm in the younger, prettier business.
Oh, boy. I've gotten so old, I'm not lying about my age anymore. I turned 50 on Thursday, everybody.
Not to look at you, kid.
This coming?
Yep. Yep, going up to Seattle for my birthday weekend for Sexy Liberal, everybody.
Oh,
you look like your own daughter.
You are going to have a great time there.
Hey, check out my mom. She's 88, and we have pictures up, right? At Stephanie Miller Facebook, Stephanie Miller Show Facebook.
Yep.
Sexy Liberal Facebook.
Google Plus.
At Google Plus.
Whatever that is.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
I'm so far behind.
It's what the kids are doing now.
Ah.
Oh, those kids.
The regular Google wasn't good enough?
Well, Facebook screwed up last week and sent a whole bunch of people to Google Plus.
Oh.
Awesome.
Very nice.
So now they're liking it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Lynette in Minneapolis. Hey, Lynette.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
You know, here's what I'm wondering as Americans. Do we have to wait for these Republicans to get into a sexual scandal before we ask them to step down? I really think that we should get John Boehner, Eric Cantor, Mitch McConnell to step down now because they're clearly not representing us as Americans. We have to wait for some scandal to happen? I don't get it. Why don't we start a petition, ask them to go now?
You know, Lynette, I would be satisfied if at least somebody in the mainstream media would at least confront them on that the things they're standing for, vast majorities of Americans are against. You know, destroying Medicare, Social Security, you name it.
Yeah.
Not having the rich pay their fair share. I mean,
relevant issues.
Right.
They're clearly not representing us. What else do we need to know?
Right.
But they all have sex scandals. You just one after the next has something weird. You don't even have to scrape that far. It's like, which sex scandal do you want to choose?
Yeah. Let's just take a moment to all pray for a Rick Santorum sex scandal. All right, there we go. All right. Say a little prayer for him. Okay. By the way, a lot of these Republican governors, too, have, like, record low, approval ratings on top of it. And in Wisconsin, it may be a race, too, you know, whether he's going to get, what's his name, Walker, is going to get recalled or impeached at this point.
Yeah.
Because there's, a bunch of stuff going on. But Rick Scott in Florida... he just bragged about laying off 15,000 government workers right after decrying Florida's high unemployment rate.
Another guy
he's
with
doing
the name
his best
Rick.
To help. Yeah, there
give
you
me,
go.
Give me my name back, man. Yeah. You lost the right to that name.
Rick Scott took to the stage to talk about successes in his state, including decreasing the state's unemployment rate to 10.7%. Which is above the national average.
Whoa.
In the next sentence, though, he touted another quote-unquote success, laying off 15,000 public sector workers, which, of course, increased the unemployment rolls in his state. He then declared government can't create jobs. Well, not when you're in charge, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, I just love how, like, everything government is bad in this version of the Republican Party.
That sucking sound is all those jobs going away.
Yeah. Yeah, see? Ross Perot was right.
That's right.
Crazy bastard.
That's right. If a rope pops out of a cloud, are you going to go climb up into that rope? What?
Yeah.
Maybe you got a cow on a head on
that
either
second
end.
Sound. And he was right.
Yeah.
We're like, look at that crazy bastard with that chart.
What? He was right?
Yeah.
Well,
he was right about NAFTA.
I should have worked on the impression.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you should have brushed that up. How about this, though? Rand Paul seems like he suggested polluters like the Koch brothers should go to jail. There's something we can get all behind. Typically a reliable voice in support of corporate greed, Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, suggested this week that petrochemical polluters like David and Charles Koch should go to jail.
They just dropped him off of their invite list to
the next
party, so I'll show you.
Paul blasted efforts by environmentalists to rein in unregulated hydrofracking, but at one point he said people who pollute with benzene, carcinogenic chemicals, should go to jail, and it just so happens... Coke Industries have dumped benzene into streams. The Department of Justice has served the company with an indictment. They've been doing it since 2000.
That's right. That's right. We're all fracked.
Enjoy. Drink up.
They've totally fracked us.
All right. Do you watch the Dancing with the Stars, Edie? Are you an aficionado of the ABC's Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, I missed the first one. I saw somebody get voted off, though.
Yeah.
Well, not Nancy Grace.
No.
That's funny.
Man, they're scared to vote her off.
Are you kidding me?
She'll take him down.
Yeah, exactly.
She's like built like a linebacker.
Yeah.
Even Chaz Bona's like, I'm not messing with that.
Anywhere
she's
like
near
a red giant, you know.
She outweighs her partner.
Does she?
Yes.
Does he have to do lifts?
He's a thin, beautiful man.
Does he have to do lifts?
Oh,
he's like,
God.
throws him around like a straw dummy, you know.
Have you seen this guy, Fox News contributor? How do you say his name, Chris? Dr. Keith Ablo?
Ablo,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Look at us not touching it. Look at us being all grown up.
You know.
It's a name.
Yeah. He has come under, we played this soundbite in Right Wing World, didn't we? He's come under intense criticism in recent weeks for his public opposition to Chaz Bono participating in Dancing with the Stars. He has warned parents that letting their children watch him on television, could kindle their desire to become transgender and amputate their body parts. He thinks that kids are going to be just lopping their body parts off left and right if they watch Dancing with the Stars.
Not today.
Oh, my God. They'll have to switch it to Scar Search.
According to...
Oh, virgin.
These people are so ridiculous. According to Ablo, allowing Bono to participate in Dancing with the Stars is akin to celebrating anorexia or heroin addiction. However, he had a show that ran almost as long as mine. Did I miss that, Chris?
Yeah, you did.
Dr. Keith Abloh show?
Uh-huh.
In 2006, he ran for one season. Me too. He once dedicated an entire episode to transgender people. In one segment, he noted that guest's denial of her gender identity didn't work, made sure to address her with correctly gendered pronouns. He even stated it makes sense in every way for his guest to undergo gender reassignment surgery. See what happens when you go to work for Fox?
You let it all go.
That's what I mean. Chris, we've said this over and over. I don't think they really believe the evil they say. No. It's just they're on Fox News, so they need to, you know.
Poor old Shep Smith, man. It looks like they got a gun to his head for most of those things. It's just, no, man, I have a collar that shocks me if I try to leave.
Here's
the next
story. He's the only one.
All right. Okay. Next up.
Ow. because he's the only one that does. He seems to now and again step a little off the reservation, and then
back on book, back on book.
Because he tends to do it, like sometimes he'll accidentally do journalism, and then you can tell there's somebody in the booth.
And his hair is different, kind of sticking out, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, maybe you think it's live, but it's on tape, and they took him back in threw him down in the dirt hole in the back. Silence of the hour.
And someone comes with a fan and, like, blows the smoke off his shoulders.
Oh, wow. I love this story so much. Ted Haggard, the noted Crystal Methodist.
Crystal Methodist.
He's,
outstanding.
He's the preacher who, you remember. The male hookers and the crystal meth and the... masseuse. Because you know how...
Masseur. Croak masseur.
A lot of straight guys go to guys for, massage and crystal meth, don't they?
Yeah.
How much for
the blessed ending?
Exactly. Ted Haggard will be appearing on the show Wife Swap. He and his lovely wife...
What?
Celebrity Wife Swap. Yeah, this is my favorite... Breaking a celebrity news story.
You can't even make stuff up like that. Yeah. Gosh darn it.
Get
out of the comedy business.
Do you remember his lovely wife, Gail? She was in the minivan with him with the reporters. She's like, that frozen smile. The frozen gay sex scandal smile. That wife, it's that Mrs. McGreevy.
Michelle Bachman.
Yeah.
Just roll with it.
No, we can't. Yeah, she just has that. No, we can't. We can't talk about the crystal meth and the hookers now. We have kids have soccer. Mm-hmm.
Just you wait till this camera is off. You are so dead.
Anyway, here's the punchline. He will reportedly switch spouses with Gary Busey, who is also a born-again Christian.
Yeah.
Well, no. Switch spouses?
Ted Haggard is going to appear on Celebrity Wife Swap, and he will switch spouses with Gary Busey.
Oh my God! This is
okay.
So great.
So there you go.
Are we in Bazooni Land, or where are we?
No,
long time now.
Edie, I know that you're known as quite the diva in Hollywood. I don't know if you've ever.
I cause so much trouble wherever I go.
So difficult.
TMZ reports that Justin Bieber rented out the entire Staples Center in Los Angeles to give his girlfriend a private screening of the Titanic. What have you done lately, Big Spender? What have you done on your latest date with somebody?
I got on the front of a dinghy boat and went, King of the World, and then flipped the boat because I'm 250 pounds. So.
That's a little over the top. Okay, Arnold Schwarzenegger writing a book. Oh, good. Total Recall. See how he always uses the movie titles, and that's so I can't get enough of that.
Yeah.
Even when he was running. Remember all the movie catchphrases?
Yeah.
Oh,
remember when I was relevant?
La Vista Gray Davis.
Remember when I only stopped one woman at a time?
The deficit.
Apparently, he will touch upon his recent breakup with
Maria
while covering his childhood in Austria and his career as bodybuilder, action star, and politician.
And
action star and politician. That's what's wrong with America.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bingo. Oh, we have a winner.
Thank you. I will bring this all magically full circle now in that Paul McCartney, he has a ballet. He is premiering a ballet. It's called Ocean's Kingdom. He wrote the music for it in New York, I believe it's tonight. Is it there? No, Thursday night. Paul McCartney's about. Here's why it's magically full circle, because I think it would be awesome if he put Heather Mills in it. Remember when her fake leg flew off? When her fake leg flew off on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, that's cruel.
Sure, we've all moved on.
Cruella.
Break a leg.
Oh! You're not going to top the Dancing with the Stars where Heather Mills' leg flew off.
No, that's true. Man, that's true.
45 minutes after the hour. Back with the waning moments of Rick Overton and Edie McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is a disgusting display.
Boy, you can say that again.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number to join the party. Rick Overton, comedian extraordinaire, is with... Wait a minute, we forgot to jingle Edie, what with all the confusion. This is Edie's official day, for God's sake.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
With McClurg. Monday,
Monday. Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore
Edie McClurg.
Hi, Edie. All right, now you're officially here.
I'm here.
All right.
I've been here for 45 minutes, but I know. Guess I just arrived.
We forgot to jingle you. All right, and give you the respect that you're entitled to. All right, Phil writes, Steph, it's laughable to me that Republicans have Christie fever. You know, Chris Christie. Just imagine, it's the 2012 presidential debates. President Obama effortlessly jogs up the stairs to the stage, and then he and the audience awaits the Coast Guard chopper to appear overhead and lower Chris Christie down to the stage via cables and harnesses. Like a cow rescued from a mud mire. Bring it on. Okay. He's from somewhere, he knows what a mud mire is. That's how you rescue a cow. Also, in regard to Herman Cain, who just won the Florida straw poll, yeah, let's all remember if you turn 999 upside down, it's 666. I'm just saying. Cool.
Yeah.
Just saying. What the hell does that plan even mean? Does anyone understand the 999 plan?
It's like a scratcher, right? You get a little wax off behind your ear with a nickel or something like that, and you look and see what you got. Ah, I got like 2 sixes and an acorn.
I don't think that's what it is. I don't. Have you heard him explain it, Edie?
Where
is 999?
Where do you gamble, Rick?
All right, I'm trying to.
Every day on stage.
Hold, please. I'm trying to find some. What? Rebecca was going to run something in. Let me go back and find it again.
Well,
it is. I've got it.
Okay.
All right. Chris writes, Steph, as you suggest, Rick Perry and Mittens need to have angry sex to get it out of their system. Maybe they could turn it into a humorous sketch, singing along to Cole Porter's You're the Top.
Ah.
I think that's a delightful entertainment suggestion. It's not that the Republican debates could get much more entertaining.
Well, you think we got it bad here sometimes in America. A female blogger in Iran received 50 lashes for posting something on the Facebook over there. And they said, you know, she got to, they took her in right. And they whipped her 50 times for something that she wrote on the Internet.
Edie bringing the comedy is stories from the Fun Stack. Wow. All right, now I'm going to have to do a story about some critters just to counteract that. A Florida couple.
Where's that monkey on the Segway?
We may have to. We may have to put or even a chimpanzee riding on a Segway.
Oh, it's a chimpanzee.
Yes, and a baby monkey riding backwards on a pig.
Baby monkey.
Just to get the 50 lashes out of your head. Okay. All right. Someone hopefully will do a song about this. A Florida couple returned from a month-long vacation to find they had some new stinky roommates. 10 skunks had squeezed into their home through a window that had been left open. The wife said 5 skunks walked through the kitchen recently while she was enjoying her morning coffee. That does not happen to you every day. That is like a little Disney, an animated Disney film.
And this isn't C Street?
But with scratch and sniff.
Mm-hmm. John Lasseter's got a book on it already.
Yeah.
It's going to be the next animated feature.
I have
feature.
Skunks. I am a Fred. My dog Fred tends to get skunked on a fairly regular
and
basis.
And they have all that big hair and everything to hold on to that aroma.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
A lot of tomato.
That, it's like they're like he's like a Republican. They just keep trying the same thing over and over again, thinking there'll be a different outcome. Thinking
that
they'll try the same policy. That's Fred thinks right. No. This time, this skunk wants to play. No. Again, did not work out well.
Yeah. What does a skunk's fart smell like? Is there anything?
And does he? Can he tell the difference?
Yeah. That's the best time. That's the one animal that gets away with a fart out of all of them. You know, is a skunk. Yeah, who right. dealt it? Who,
all right. Well,
who
that's
knows?
Better than the usual smell. We've been talking all morning about the because some people still can't get over that a gay American soldier was booed at a Republican debate last Thursday night. But Fox News, I'm sure they didn't cover that because they had largely ignored the entire overturn of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which is kind of a big story.
Yeah.
If you're you always think this is your imagination, but like people like Media Matters, they document this stuff. So it basically, if there's any good news for the Obama administration, like that's just not reported, or there's sort of, you know, big story that makes the, you know, Republican base feel oogie, they just don't report that either. So the network largely ignored the story. This is like a pretty historic policy being overturned. They mentioned it just 16 times during the entire news day. CNN and MSNBC recovered the repeal 66 times and 84 times, respectively. And then this was my favorite. They think progress went back to last year. They failed to report at all that the former RNC chair, Ken Mellman, who had, of course, orchestrated the entire, you know, gay bashing campaign for President Bush, had
ironically,
come out as gay.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did not. That was not.
And you know
tumbleweed.
What that's like?
Not covered. Was not covered on Fox.
Ken Mellman is like busting someone at the border with drugs. You catch one out of 1,000.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the rest of them got through. And that's the Republican Party. It's like, you know. That's a big. That's a big tent closet.
Yeah, exactly. Glenn, this is you know, Fox News. This is kind of what they based off. Glenn Beck appeared on a Fox and Friends recently to continue promoting. He has a little internet TV show. I don't know if you've seen that yet.
No, I read the book.
During the segment, he claimed that "quote unquote" somebody had evaluated his past predictions and concluded Beck has a 92% accuracy rate on what he said was coming. You don't even have to. You know he's been wrong about every crazy prediction he's made. But that was just, he quoted somebody. Somebody said. Somebody said. That's what they say on Fox. Some say I have a 92%.
Well, here's some good news.
Wait a minute. Let's go. I got to go back to some of his. Let's review. Beck predicts new Muslim caliphate will control the Middle East and parts of Europe. No. Beck predicts race riots in the U.S. fueled by the media and by our politicians. No, that didn't happen. Beck predicts that we may lose Israel and the free world this summer. Oh, no. No.
But it is true that he said all those things.
Mm-hmm. 92% of the time he said almost exactly what I'm saying he said. Beck predicts John Stewart and Colbert will go the way of Oprah because the American people are done with it. Oh, no. No, still there.
No,
anti-truth.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yes, Edie McClurg?
Good news.
Okay, good news.
John Kerry has introduced legislation to make it illegal to discriminate against the LGBT Americans in the housing and credit institutions.
Awesome.
So that, you know, they can rent, they can buy, they can
get their gay things all over everything. Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, here's, before we go quickly, though, because we joke about, you know, the Republicans just lying or putting out misinformation. This is important. Michelle Bachmann, you know,
somebody told me something, so I'm just going to say it.
Experts are saying her false HPV comments could do real damage to public health. She said that, you know, it causes mental retardation because some woman told me. And anyway, New York Times reporting that far-reaching damage to public health may have already been done. Experts are predicting Bachmann's comments may set vaccination rates back 3 or 4 years and instill unfounded fears in parents who would otherwise have had their children vaccinated. But the harm to the public may already have been done. They said when politicians or celebrities raise alarms about vaccines, even false alarms, vaccination rates drop.
The human papilloma virus is a very bad thing, and you need...
I know.
Inoculation.
I know. Thank you. There she is. She's probably played a nurse in something, so listen to her. It's Edie McClurg.
I have.
And this has been Mondays with McClurg. Thank you, Rick Overton. We'll see you tomorrow on
Thank
the Stephanie Miller Show.